Hey, I'm Daniel Snyder from Seeking Alpha. This is Week in Byte. Thank you for joining us. And at this time of recording, AAA has said that the national gas average for a price of gasoline for a gallon is $4.94. Makes you kind of wonder, with everything going on in the oil side of commodities in the world, where do we go from here? Lucky for us today, we have Michael Boyd from Energy Investing Authority joining us today. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Daniel?
Doing well. I want to break down, there's so much to unpack, right? Biden came out just this week and talked about his four-point plan. But before we get into that and get your take on that, can you tell us, what do you think about, what's the overall state of oil right now?
Well, I think the important thing to remember with, obviously the markets is, it's a rough time for every sector of the market, whether it's energy or tech or wherever you're looking. But I think the big thing for investors to focus on, if they're in the energy space, if you go back, you look at crude prices, 1 month ago, 3 months ago, where they are now, it's the exact same. If you look at natural gas, it's a similar situation. If you look out in like 2003 on the futures strip. So, with company stock prices down quite a bit, I think the big thing for investors to focus on is that the profit outlook for these companies really has not changed for 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, and we saw just the report came through that even Warren Buffett is continuing to buy Occidental Petroleum stock. I mean, it seems like there's this huge bet still going on for oil to remain going to the upside, whether it's, not being able to find a solution with the administration or anything else that's going on. So kind of curious, is oil still pretty much the perfect investment for right now in this economy?
I think it depends on how you feel about the economy and how things are going forward. I think the Federal Reserve is in a tight spot. They're trying to manage inflation expectations and the economy at the same time, trying to make sure that we don't drive this too deep into negative GDP. As long as you feel like the U.S. consumer is going to be in a relatively decent spot, meaning we don't see like rampant demand destruction, then I think energy is in a great place to be, especially if you feel like inflation is going to persist and the Fed is going to have to struggle, towing the line, so to speak.
And I think also, in regards to the world economy, though, right, we're seeing there's continued problems over in Germany and Europe and getting liquid natural gas there. We had the explosion from Freeport that shut down that facility to export LNG. Is natural gas going to stabilize? Is oil going to stabilize in price? Or do you think we're going to continue to see these volatile moments?
I think the thing is, there's always headlines in energy, right? But there's so many things going on right now. We have refinery fires in Russia and China. Obviously, there's always stuff going on in Europe with the whole Ukraine situation and kind of cutting off natural gas flows. They're still trying to manage their situation as they get through injection season into the winter months and trying to make sure they have inventories in place. For me, I think the future strip still kind of builds in a little bit of lower prices going into the end of the year and next. But, that's been firming up a little bit. There's not as much steep backwardation as there was just a couple of months ago. So it seems people are coming around to spot prices are a little bit cheaper in the front months, but out later in the curve, that really has not changed all that much. Seems like most in the market are still have a very positive view on oil and gas prices into coming quarters.
Yeah, I gotta say that's what I've heard as well. Now, I want to get your take on this. So I pulled up the article here on Seeking Alpha. President Biden came out yesterday, being Wednesday, and released his four-point plan that he wants to see happen within the oil industry to hopefully get costs down for the consumer. One of those being Congress should suspend the gasoline tax for 90 days, or that oil companies should use profits to increase refining capacity. And we're hearing kind of whispers from both sides, like some of these things don't really translate to a huge value saving amount of money for the consumer, so why do it? And then also we're hearing sides where, oil refinery, creating new refinery buildings and processes for these companies, they may not see an ROI for up to 10 years, so why are they going to do that as the world is switching over to renewable energy? So what is your take on this four-point plan?
Well, I think the thing, right? If you suspend the gasoline tax, for 90 days, that's a temporary stopgap measure. Maybe it helps consumers a little bit, but at the end of the day, the United States needs that tax revenue to hopefully invest in roads and infrastructure. That has to be in place. I think the bigger issue is, refining capacity. We're You know, United States, we're running at 94% refining capacity right now on the utilization rate. So there's not a lot of spare capacity available. You know, we've lost 700,000-800,000 barrels per day of refining capacity since 2016. Half of that has been conversions to renewable diesel, so we can't go back on that at this point. And the other half is in a state of disrepair. You know, once refineries kind of shut these things down, you know, they have needs elsewhere in their network. They'll kind of strip them for parts. There's a lot of costs involved in getting these things back online. So that's, you know, multi-year kind of effort to get some of these legacy assets back into place. And, you know, with the administration still, you know, is very antagonistic, I guess, would be my worry when it comes to the energy industry. I think the end goal still is to, you know, focus on renewables and kind of do this energy transition shift. So that's, as you said, that's the big thing. Why should any refinery owner kind of invest in growing capacity when, you know, the administration is, in, you know, increasing its tax benefits for electric vehicles and these kind of things? So, you know, there's going to be excessive losses in gasoline demand if those kind of things come to pass. So they're going to be creating an oversupply situation for themselves. So the ROI is just not going to be there on a multi-year timeline.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are starting to feel this at the pump, right? You hear that in the headlines all the time. News is saying, hey, you know, consumers are feeling this at the pump. If you have a truck, you're filling up for over $100 every time you have to fill up. People are traveling again more now. People are going back to the office for work. They're obviously spending more in gasoline, and there's a lot of demand there. And we spoke at the end of March about you saying that by the end of the year, you're expecting gasoline prices to come down a little bit. I'm just kind of curious, do you still feel that way?
I mean, I think you have to, there's a differentiation here, right? You have refining profits, and then you have the actual price of the gas pump, right? And if you look at wholesale prices out in the future for gasoline and diesel, they do come down a little bit. But I think the big thing to remember is that's all a function of the expectation that we'll have lower crude oil prices in the future. So at the end of the day, you know, 60-65% of the cost of a gallon of gas when you fuel up at your local gas station, that's driven by the underlying price of crude. So if we do see kind of this moderation in strip prices over the next couple months and into the end of the year, where we see kind of prices move down, you know, back to $90-$85 a barrel, you're going to see some relief at the pump. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter necessarily for the refiners, who are going to be seeing the exact same profit margins per you know, gallon of diesel or you know, gasoline that they produce.
Definitely interesting how things can change so rapidly, right? Like, I feel like it almost feels like yesterday when oil went negative during the pandemic, right? And now we're at the other side of this spectrum where things have completely changed. And I'm thinking, what if investors want to get involved right now? You know, obviously they've seen the run up. Have they already missed the boat, or are there still good opportunities within the energy sector? And do you have perhaps a name that you can share with them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities you can have out there. I mean, I think the thing with the energy sector, especially when you ever have market sell-offs like this, there's a lot of indiscriminate selling, right? So I feel like every single sector has kind of seen like similar kind of headaches and kind of pain. Right now, I think the refining sector is a great place to be. I've covered several refiners, you know, privately, but you know, a couple of names investors can look at on the large cap side. You know, if you look at Valero, for instance, you know, that is a name that's down, you know, 30-35% since the highs. That's a great pickup. You know, they have a great business, you know, structured throughout the Gulf Coast, but also out into the kind of the coastal markets as well. And if investors want to take a little bit more risk, there are some refineries like, you know, PBF Energy, for instance. You know, they have a massive presence on the East Coast, and that's actually where there's been the most kind of gasoline and diesel shortages on a kind of like a state-by-state market. So prices have been moved much higher there relative to what, you know, a state like Texas or Louisiana's experience. If you look at gas prices in New York, how those have moved. So those are kind of like a couple of names in the refining space that I think would be kind of great areas to kind of pick up at this point. Most of them, given the profit outlook that they have, they're going to have clean balance sheets by the end of the year. There's been a lot of de-risking in the refining sector, and, you know, barring any crazy political or regulatory changes, they have a great outlook as long as you don't think there's going to be any, you know, price caps or, you know, there's been some floats on like export, you know, product export bans and those kind of things.
Let's wrap it up with this real quick. Let me ask you this before I let you go. Some people are more risk averse, right? There's been more conversations about, you know, stock market's down, it's great for younger investors, time's on our side, but you do have the other people that have been invested in the market their entire lives, right? They're still looking for income and safety and stabilization and that sort of thing. So assuming they maybe have a 60-40 portfolio still, we don't know. But on the ETF side of things, is XLE still a good buy here? Or is it kind of, you know, if you're going to invest in energy at this point, you want to start picking individual names?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always an opportunity to kind of like hopefully outperform your like your index benchmark. I always benchmark myself against like the XLE or other kind of like indexes like that. I think the components in the XLE are kind of generally, obviously, like large cap, stable names. So you're not really going to have kind of those like whipsaw movements that you might see in some of the smaller mid cap names. So I really think it's just it's investor preference. If they don't have a lot of comfort in the energy sector, especially if, or maybe they were involved in 2015 and 16, and they're just really cautious around the space and have some bad memories from that period, I think XLE is a great place to pick. But I think there is opportunity if you kind of do a little bit of digging and kind of go in some of the small and mid-cap names. There's been a lot of risk kind of like taken out of the energy sector over the past couple of years. And there's some great bargain buys and opportunities there.
Michael, appreciate your time as always. Thank you so much for your insights today. You have a great weekend, all right?
Of course, you have a great one too.
All right, we'll talk soon. That is Michael Boyd from Energy Investing Authority, a service found on Seeking Alpha Marketplace. If you want to check it out, read more of his in-depth content, you can find him there. His newsletters are phenomenal. Obviously, the oil space isn't going around anytime soon, so it might be something you want to think about. But before we wrap up this episode, you know what it is. We got to bring in our very own Kim Kahn, Managing Editor here at Seeking Alpha, for this week's Catalyst Watch.
Thanks, Daniel. We're wrapping up, Q2 next week. It seems time flies. And this is actually my favorite time of year for earnings, because you've got about 2 weeks before we get this onslaught when the banks start reporting and then there's just a deluge of numbers. It's still very quiet, but it's not the 4th of July week where there's just nothing going on. There are some good names. And you kind of want to look at how these are shaping up, especially with revisions and how analysts are revising targets after these numbers. We've got some really good names to look at. You got Nike, General Mills, you got in tech space, you've got Micron, and you've also got Walgreens. So there's a few things to look at there. And what we're looking at overall then from a macro perspective is, Society General was out with a note this week saying, look, a recession isn't even fully priced in the S&P yet. We're hovering around 3,800. It says fair value is 3,850. A recession fully priced in would be 3,200. And if you get a stagflation type 70s recession, it seems the S&P going all the way down to 2525, which would be like a 33% drop from around these numbers. So I dig into those.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's significantly lower. I'm kind of wondering, what's your take on, there's whispers going around, right? That there's been multiple compression in the market and earnings have not come down at all. The earning projections through the end of the year are, if not down, if not elevated, right? With inflation and rising prices, was Q1 the last best quarter? Or are we expecting to see some good earnings in Q2?
Well, the analyst community is pretty confident still. They haven't really ratcheted down their earnings expectations. I think, Jonathan Gallo, the Credit Suisse strategist, follows this a lot. It's his main kind of argument for how the stock space is going to hold up still. They haven't seen cause to ramp down these numbers just yet. I'm going to say there's also, we've seen big tech layoffs come out. We've seen margin compression in certain companies, but not all over the space. I would particularly be interested, as we've just been talking about, in how energy holds up. It's doing well, but commodities are going down. If those turn around, that could be a kind of final thing for the market, which could easily be a flush out and say, okay, we've got this, we can kind of slowly build forward, or it could be, okay, here's a warning sign and, buckle up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I'm just having flashbacks right now to Netflix and their last earnings, right? Announcing that they were projecting people to start canceling subscriptions. And I think with gas going up and we keep talking about oil and the state of play there, obviously people are probably going to start pulling back spending on some of the discretionary items and focusing more on what do I actually need in life, right? So, I mean, my eyes personally on Netflix, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's going to be like we've heard all through these conference calls about supply chain constraints in this inflation story. Now we're going to start seeing about a consumer buyer's strike or the thrifty consumer. I think those are the keywords people are going to be searching for.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Kim. All right, we'll see you next week. You have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Ian.
That wraps it up for this week's episode of The Week in Byte. Feel free to leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app and comments. Let us know what you like about these episodes, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of, and we'll try to squeeze that in. And until next time, I'm Daniel Snyder. Have a great weekend, everyone.